Hey, if you're listening to this podcast, there's one thing you can do if you like it, and that is go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. And why would you want to do that? Well, hey, we'll read it. I'll actually do it in character, even if I don't do the character. You name it, I'll read it. It's that simple. Also, supporting this podcast through Patreon. It's not your duty. You don't have to do it. I'm not begging here, but if you'd like to, it helps. Well, it helps me, Tim Andrews, make a little bit of money. Just go to patreon.com/TimAndrews. And donate. That's all you got to do. There's some great rewards. We're going to have more great rewards. They're going to be great. They're going to be huge rewards. You're going to love them. I swear.
Two Faces Radio.
One of the programs which you hear daily on many of these mutual stations begins like this.
I'm here with hundreds of people who have gathered to witness what has been described as perhaps the greatest turkey event in Thanksgiving Day history.
Oh my God, they're turkeys! Oh, Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of our eyes! One just went through the windshield of a parked car!
Oh, the humanity!
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Gabbers!
Timmy, if we go back to the other kids with that turkey, they're gonna be pissed.
Timmy!
I was just about to take it out in the yard and put a bullet in his head.
What? Oh, dude, don't say that!
I've got a one-legged pig if you'd like to.
Blow it out your ass.
All right, Bart, that's it. Go to your room, now!
Okay, I'll take some white meat and stuffing to go and send up the pumpkin pie in about 20 minutes.
I said no!
I hope you're happy, Bart! You ruined Thanksgiving!
Gabbers!
Welcome to Marathon. May I help you?
Yes.
How may I help you?
You can start by wiping that fucking dumbass smile off your rosy fucking cheeks.
I really don't care for the way you're speaking to me.
And I really don't care for the way your company left me in the middle of fucking nowhere with fucking keys to a fucking car that isn't fucking there.
Have you rehabilitated yourself?
Sergeant, you got a lot of goddamn gall to ask me if I've rehabilitated myself.
Kid, we don't like your kind. We're gonna send your fingerprints off to Washington.
What's all the commotion?
We've got another holiday to worry about. It seems Thanksgiving Day is upon us.
I haven't even finished eating all my Halloween candy!
Sally, Thanksgiving is a very important holiday. Ours was the first country in the world to make a national holiday to give thanks.
Isn't he the cutest thing?
I like me. My wife likes me. My customers like me. Because I'm the real article. What you see is what you get.
I'm proud to say that I'm 50 years old. I'm not one of those gals who's afraid to tell her real age. And I like to kick, stretch, and kick. I'm 50.
Gabbers!
It's time for Radio Labyrinth with Tim Andrews, Ira Malkin, Steph Swain, and Jeff Leboff.
Welcome to episode 50 of Radio Labyrinth. My name is Tim Andrews. There's Ira Malkin.
What?
Jeff Leboff.
We're 50 years old.
Yeah. Stephanie Swain.
And Tulu.
Tulu. You guys, I haven't played it yet, but I ended the intro with Sally O'Malley, who's 50. She can kick and stretch and kick. Do you remember that?
I don't think I do, no.
You don't?
Mm-mm.
Anybody here?
Yeah, 50 years old.
Yeah, Molly Shannon did that character on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, okay.
I'm 50.
She really is 50, though.
Now, damn. She wasn't then. She was not then.
Wait, speaking of intros, I meant to bring up when you inserted your wiener song. a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
we forgot to discuss that.
Why?
Well, because we didn't know that it was on there until you released that episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot about that, and I was fucking dying laughing. The Anthony Weiner song is so great.
It was great. It was. It
the
really
Weiner
was.
Song.
I loved
oh
it.
Oh, my God.
He's a real Shonda going. I had to forget what the words were.
You used every Yiddishism in there.
I looked them all up when I wrote the lyrics.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I think
you were good.
Oh, okay.
Good. Oy,
I was impressed. I was like, wow, Tim knows all this shit?
It was a mitzvah.
All right. Sorry I interrupted. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. We have, by the time you listen to this, either two or three days left to get your Radio Labyrinth Shining t-shirt. All you have to do is go to tblaster.com/Radio Labyrinth Shining T. Very easy to remember. Link is also available on our Facebook page. So get yours now. Somebody said you guys need to have more colors, and I didn't know if they meant in the artwork or the t-shirts, but I figured that white would be sufficient. I don't know. Maybe a yellow shirt since the Shining logo is white.
You don't like black yellow. And white?
Well, whatever. there are only a few left, so go order one. Please. Daddy needs a good Christmas. God, so, hey guys, you know what? It's Thanksgiving week. Can you turn that down a little bit? Nice. Everybody knows this song. They play it every year on Thanksgiving, right? Some classic rock station. We'll be playing Alice's Restaurant 17 times today.
Really? That's a Thanksgiving thing?
You didn't know that?
No, I guess not.
Yeah, they've been, I don't know, for years and years and years. Well, because it starts out on Thanksgiving, one Thanksgiving, summer.
Gotcha.
Circles and rakes and arrows of destruction.
Yeah, see, I'm not perceptive.
Yeah, I have to say, I have no clue.
You never heard this song?
No.
You ever see the movie?
Nope.
The movie's not very good.
No, it's not.
We watched it a long time ago.
I'm not missing anything.
Yeah, I tried to.
It's not bad.
It.
What's it about? Thanksgiving?
Well, it's like kind of an end. This is really a long. You can fade it out whenever, but it's a long anti-war song. Basically, Arlo Guthrie, who's Woody Guthrie's son, he's hanging out with this chick named Alice who lives in a church, right, Jeff?
Yeah.
They live in an old church.
And they're big hippies.
And they have a big Thanksgiving dinner, and they take all their garbage, and the dump is closed, so they just throw it someplace. And the police find it, and they track it. Officer Obie is the cop's name, and they track it down, and they go back, and they find him. And I'm really doing a bad summarization of it, but
the Redbox phone is away. Anyway.
He's coming. He'll be here later. So they have this big court case, and litter, blah blah blah. And then he gets drafted into the military, and he has to go to, I think it was Whitehall Street in New York City, or whatever, where they check people in, and kid, have you ever been arrested? Yes, blah, 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 blah. So if you don't know it, you're looking at me like I'm blank.
I am, because I'm like, he went to court over trash.
Yeah, and he is convicted, and then he was disqualified from service because he'd been arrested and tried.
Wow, you know he's getting raped in jail.
Well, that's the thing.
the litterer.
They sent him to a thing called the Group W Bench over there, and they wanted to know if I'm moral enough to join the army and burn women children's houses. For being a litter bug.
Oh, it's not heavy-handed at all.
No. It's a comedy sort of bit. And he sits down at the Group W bench with, there are a lot of scary, mean-looking people over there. Mother rapers, father stabbers, father rapers. And then they asked me what I did, and I said, littering. And they all shied away from me. And then I said, and creating a nuisance. And we all had a good time and talking about mother, father, stabbing, raping. So.
And then they have Thanksgiving together?
Yeah.
What did Woody think?
No. Thanksgiving's first. What?
Oh.
What did Woody think of that song, you think?
Woody was dead.
Or was he dead?
Probably, yeah, dead. Huh. Arlo gave when he was a kid, he gave Bob, Bob Dylan walked to Woody Guthrie's house when Woody Guthrie was sick, because he'd go visit him in the hospital, and Woody said, go to my house, there's a box of poems, of unrecorded songs, in my house somewhere, and you can have them.
Huh.
So Bob walked all the way to his house, wherever it was, I think it was Long Island or someplace, I don't know exactly where, around that area, and Arlo was a kid, and they couldn't find the songs.
Yeah.
Well, those songs ended up being Mermaid Avenue with Wilco and Billy Bragg.
Oh.
Which is pretty neat.
Yeah.
But hey, it's Thanksgiving week, so we want to talk about some Thanksgiving stuff.
Food.
What do you guys have? Okay, first of all.
Yeah, what time are we coming over to your house, Stephanie?
Yeah. What are you making? House. How many people are
going to
be there?
We need to know
how
many.
Shit. I'm going to my in-law's house. They told me to don't bring nothing but your big appetite.
All right.
And so shall I.
Cool.
Yes, so I don't have to bring anything this year.
We have to make mashed potatoes.
Oh, when do you make them, like, real buttery? Which I just found out, that's like a northern thing, I guess, for Thanksgiving.
What?
I was going to
bring mashed potatoes to our luncheon at work, And my boss, she was like, I like, that's such a northern thing.
Mashed
Nobody
potatoes?
Does mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving. And I said, okay. Well, so then I made cheesy hash brown casserole.
But it's saying that sounds better.
It was. Cheesy and I put hash like, I put little beefy smokies all in it and everything. Uh-huh. And then you put these buttery cornflakes on top and bake
Damn.
Them or whatever.
Yum.
Mm-hmm. It was really fattening.
I miss having Thanksgiving at my dad's parents, my grandparents, because my grandmother would just go all hog. Aww. Macaroni and cheese, potato salad, stuffing, turkey, you know, everything. And then homemade pumpkin pie with real pumpkin in it. And then the homemade, you know, roll it out dough or whatever you call it, the crust. Then there was an apple pie, and then there was a chocolate, and then there was a coconut cream pie. There's always like four or five pies.
Yeah, same thing with my granny. My granny made the best chestnut dressing because we had a chestnut tree out in their yard in West Virginia. So my grandpa would go out there and pick up the chestnuts, and I'd have to crack them out of the burr, which would like tear your hands to pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
But she, oh god, chestnuts all in the
Wow.
We had a Friendsgiving, one of Caitlin's friends yesterday. We went over, and I made an hors d'oeuvre, which was what were they called? They were called praline bacon skewers.
That sounds what?
So you
what is that?
You thread bacon on a wood skewer. You put it in the oven for 8 minutes. Then you take it out. And then you put maple syrup on it and crushed pecans. Then you put it back in the oven for 8 more minutes.
Oh,
and then they're
God.
Done. And they're yummy.
Why didn't you bring that to us?
Well, they're gone, aren't they?
Well, Jesus God. You could have
put
leftover
bacon,
four
like...
slices away.
Mm-mm.
Well, then for Christmas, I want some praline bacon up in this
All
bitch.
Right, all right.
Do us like that.
I had bacon-wrapped scallops yesterday.
Ooh.
Seared scallops.
There's another thing I want to make. You take a Ritz cracker and you fold bacon over it, and then you sprinkle brown sugar on top, and you bake it for 40 minutes in the oven. Mm-hmm.
What is that? How does the Ritz stay crunchy?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I saw it on the Walmart Facebook page. Walmart
stoner page.
Yeah. So I'll just be going out to my dad's, and then I have another Friendsgiving this Friday. So lots of turkey, lots of eating.
All these Friendsgivings.
Yeah. Lots of fucking turkey.
Let me ask you something. Is having turkey and a ham semi-traditional?
I don't know
not.
If it's traditional.
But is that normal?
It wasn't in my family growing up. We
never had a ham.
We had a turkey and a ham.
Because ham is like an Easter thing, right?
Yeah.
Christmas.
Yeah.
But for Thanksgiving, that's not traditional, right?
We would have both. Now, my father-in-law,
it's an old Jewish tradition.
Turkey and he hates
not.
Ham. So we always have like roasted chickens or
filet mignon
or something like
now
that.
Now that's fucking yummy.
Yeah, because he hates turkey and he hates ham. So.
We had a roasted Christmas, but it usually was a roast beef or a deer roast. So that was good.
A deer roast?
Mm-hmm.
Never had that.
Say in The Grinch, roast beast.
Roast beast. Roast beast.
I'll just be home by myself having a dry bologna sandwich.
Oh, come on.
What about
now?
Your mom?
You don't have any mayonnaise?
You need to go see your mom.
No mayonnaise. No mustard. No cheese.
Don't walk over to
terrible.
That gas station by you. They got... There's something happened there the other day.
They got robbed.
Yeah.
Pizza Hut got robbed.
Yeah, the Pizza Hut over there got robbed. Two
really?
Guys walked in
saw
and
that.
Robbed everybody in the restaurant.
Damn. So like Pulp
Forced
Fiction
to
style. Took the wallets, made more money from the wallets
the
than they did from the register.
The one that says bad motherfucker on it.
Yeah. Take it easy, honey bunny.
Well, damn, Jeff. You could always order. I think Papa John's is open.
No. Closed.
They're open.
I know. I'm just kidding.
Is it the one that's across from the Waffle House? The new Waffle House?
Yeah, the Pizza Hut over
fuck
there.
That area.
You should go. You should go do. I've been wanting to do this for years, and I never have. Is go to Art of the South and have his ham bar on Thanksgiving. He has like a big Thanksgiving buffet, and he has a ham bar. It's like 6 or 7 hams from all different regions.
Wow.
Oh, I want that Western ham. Mm. What's the difference? Ham is ham.
Something about the pigs. Each area, they feed them different stuff, and I don't know. Some they molest, some they don't. I don't know. But
what do you mean molest?
I don't know.
I mean, I was deprived
like massage
of ham.
And
oh, okay.
I was deprived
fondle.
Of ham most of my life. So then, of course, when I started getting into ham, I was all
it was
over
religious.
It. Oh yeah. And
your
then,
parents, they still don't eat it.
Well, but then my wife's mom, you know, we always ate Christmas over there and did a lot of Thanksgivings there, and she would always have a ham. But I was talking to somebody about that over the weekend. They're like, "You have a ham at Thanksgiving?" And they thought it was weird.
I don't think it's
weird.
I've been to big family gathering Thanksgivings before other people's families, and they always had a turkey and a ham.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, all right. Well,
and especially in the South.
I knew it. Mm-hmm. I knew it was semi-normal.
And then my aunt and uncle in the Carolinas, they always make stuffing with oysters in it.
Gross.
No. Yeah? No, it's fucking amazing.
Sounds like boogers.
No, no, it's very good. But they do taste like boogers if they're not cooked right.
Right.
Yeah. No. Or actually more of a
loogie. Oysters in it.
No. Yeah.
I've not heard that.
You know, in the first
I've heard of it, but I've never had it before.
Yeah, they used to eat a lot of shellfish, you know, at Thanksgiving, you know, the pilgrims or whatever. They ate shellfish. They didn't have turkey. They ate eagles.
Yeah.
They ate a lot of eagles. Yeah.
I just learned
you're
that
you're not supposed to eat shellfish either, are you?
I am.
I just learned that, you know, there's this show called Food Fact or Fiction with Michael McKean that is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch the Thanksgiving one?
No.
With Michael McKean?
I've seen a few episodes.
I did not realize, like, the Thanksgiving really isn't like a pilgrim thing.
No.
Like, they had that thing, but there was that chick in the 1800s. She's the one who started it.
Well, wasn't it Lincoln who made
Sacagawea?
It a national holiday?
Yes, and it's because she wouldn't leave him alone about
Sacagawea.
It.
Sacagawea, she took Lewis and Clark across the country.
I don't know. She said chick. I was thinking Indians, and that's what came up.
She was an abolitionist.
This is that Kristen Wiig Thanksgiving song.
Oh, that was great. I actually saw that.
I didn't see it this week.
What? I didn't either.
I mean, I normally don't watch Saturday Night Live, but
I didn't watch the AMAs either, so no AMA talk.
No, gosh, jeez.
Yeah.
Why was it no good?
Who cares?
No shit. Any of those musical awards.
Why would I watch American Medical Association awards?
Yeah, right. Really?
Would Green Day go there and yell stupid shit too?
I saw the impression that Gigi Hadid did of Melania Trump today.
She got a lot of hate about that.
I thought it was actually a pretty decent impression. It was better than
if I had to watch
expected.
That. Well, if I had to watch that woman, whatever her name is, Gigi what Hadid?
Yeah,
I'd watch her with the sound off. Maybe.
I mean, yeah.
She didn't do anything for me.
You don't think so? Her or her sister,
nah,
Bella?
Don't care. I don't know who they are. I don't give a shit.
They're just, you know. They
models.
Look like, they're Bratz dolls. They both look like Bratz dolls.
Jay Farrow has a good gig.
He does, but then he got called the N-word a bunch on the Twitter today, I saw.
By whom?
By trolls trying to bait him about, you know, doing Trump impersonations.
Who cares?
I agree, but he was falling into
it. Don't go after that guy.
I agree, but he was falling into it, like responding. Not like responding, like fighting with them, but just like giving it any attention at
they
all,
did
which is stupid.
They did Huckleberry Finn on Family Guy this weekend. He goes, I'll just call you by the other half of your name, Jim. And then they do a cutaway where he comes back to Peter and he goes, what if I end it with an A? Is that okay? But there was another episode where they did it, and he called N-word Jim.
That was several years ago.
All right, so Thanksgiving. I was thinking about this when putting the show outline together. TV shows and movies. I only came up with maybe one or two movies, and you guys contributed some stuff too. But I wanted to talk about some of our favorite, I don't know, TV shows and movies that center around Thanksgiving. And of course, I wanted to kick it all off. Of course, with WKRP in Cincinnati, Turkey is away.
Yeah.
Everybody seen that? You've seen that, Ira?
Hilarious. Yeah.
I don't think Jeff has.
I don't know it that well, but I remember it.
It's only one of it.
What's this WKRP you're talking
about? Yeah.
When he was like given the play-by-play on the rate, and as it was getting worse and worse,
yes.
I mean, his whole.
Well, you know,
dramatization of it.
It's been so long. It had been so long since I'd seen the episode. I watched it this weekend, and I forgot that it was Mr. Carlson who wanted to get involved with promotions.
Right.
And being in a radio background and being in promotions, you always know that when the bosses want to get involved, they usually screw it up, which is what he did. So, you know, this is from Wikipedia, but Mr. Carlson decides to take a hands-on managerial approach by doing the greatest Thanksgiving promotion in radio history, dropping live turkeys from a helicopter.
Right.
And the episode is just fantastic because everybody is in the studio listening to Nat Less.
Yeah.
And he can't go. He gets kicked out of the storefront because he didn't have permission to be there in front of the mall, wherever they were. And he can't go in there, so he just gets into a phone booth while everybody gets pummeled by the turkeys. And then, of course, the classic line was, Mr. Carlson.
My witness.
Yeah.
I thought turkeys could fly.
I had no idea.
Turkeys couldn't fly.
Oh, that is my witness.
And as I learned from Pete Davis when he was here, this literally happened here in Atlanta. Is that true?
It did. I read a Rodney Ho article from 2015 that he had actually published earlier. And the general manager of WQXI, Quixi, which is now 790, for the longest time it was The Zone. Now it's just simulcasting Star 94. But it's WQXI. And a lot of the guy that one of the creators of WKRP worked there. So a lot of that radio stuff inspired him to do the show. Like Herb Tarlick is based on a guy who worked at Star, who retired from Star 94 a couple years ago, 10 years ago or whatever, named Clark Brown.
And I know that because we used to work, when I worked at IQ TV, we made all the Star 94 TV commercials, you know, with Steve and Vicky.
Did you wear those smart jackets?
Not in the 90s. But I'm sure that's where that comes from. Herb Tarlick, what a great character.
Yeah, without a doubt.
What it was they threw them from the back of a truck. They didn't throw them out of a helicopter. But it was still a pretty dumb idea and not a good idea.
A parked truck or a moving truck.
I think it was parked. Yeah. Okay. No, it was moving. It had to have been moving, yeah. You can look it for yourself. But what a great idea. It was a bad promotion either way. And, for TV, you got to make it more extreme.
Did the turkeys die
back then? Yeah, I think so.
Like, just when they hit the ground, they just died?
Well, I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah, bring the kids.
It doesn't say so in the article. I mean, I'm sure you could find it online if you research it a little bit more.
Yeah, I would like to know about that.
Yeah.
My boss just got glasses last week, and I told her that she looks like Bailey Quarters now, and she had no fucking clue what I was talking about.
How old is your boss?
She's 41.
She should know who Bailey Quarters is.
I never watched that show. It was a northern show. Never watched it. Cincinnati. I said no.
I don't watch Star Trek, Mm-mm. Dave.
Yeah. I didn't just sign for a stolen Jeep, did I, Radar?
I don't watch Star Trek, Dave.
Radio. What was that show? Oh, News Radio.
News Radio.
The other really good TV sitcom about radio. Yeah. For most of it. Till the last season.
And until Phil Hartman died.
Yeah. No way of saving that show.
No.
It's Matthew. So anyway, Google the Rodney Ho article. I'll also include a link to it. And if you've never seen that episode of WKRP and you're interested, watch it. Because, shit, if you're from Atlanta.
Is it on YouTube, that whole episode? I imagine.
wink, wink. You should search for it on Hulu because that's where it is.
Oh, okay.
But, yes, it's also on YouTube. All right.
It holds up, though. It's still got some laughs.
The entire show still holds up.
That show holds up.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of the outfits and stuff are dated, but the jokes and stuff still hold up.
Not Thanksgiving, but I remember being so upset. Remember the one where Dr. Johnny Fever, when his alternate personality took over?
Yeah, and he worked at the disco club?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was so upsetting to me as a child. I was like, why? And I was starting to believe it, you know?
Well, the best episode of all time is which one, Jeff?
The fish story one?
Oh, the drinking.
Yeah, that's where they...
Well, they had the carp, the WKRP carp.
Yeah, they had the WKRP carp, and he gets in a fight with the WPIG pig.
Yeah, but the whole subplot is Johnny. Yeah,
they're doing... Venus and Johnny are doing a test with a policeman, and they're taking a shot every 5 minutes, and they're testing their
reaction time. Yeah.
And Johnny keeps getting faster every drink he takes. His reaction times are improving.
Yeah.
that was a great one.
Until he comes out and sees that.
He sees the WPIG pig painting the lobby, graffitiing the lobby, and then he thinks he's drunk.
I liked it when Hoyt Axton came to town. We found out that was Jennifer's ex-husband.
Oh, that's right. Oh, God, what was that song he sang?
Oh, I...
You got a knife and I got a gun. Come on, boy, we're going to have a little fun. I'm a jealous man.
If you find it, tack it on to the intro. Just for me.
I already edited the intro.
Oh, well, never mind.
Sorry. Maybe when we do the WKRP episode. You know what song Hoyt Axton wrote? Number one song?
What?
Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Get out. Da-da-da. He wrote that?
He was a good friend of mine.
Oh, shit.
Yes, he did.
Wow. He was also Mr. D. Wasn't he on Mr. D?
Oh, he was Mr. D's. He was, yeah, right?
He was his real dad, right, or something?
Yeah. Remember Dixie, what was her name? Dixie Carter was on the last couple seasons of Different Strokes.
Yes.
That little redhead's mom.
Danny Cooksey.
Daniel Cooksey, yes. Danny Cooksey.
Mr. D!
His real dad was Hoyt Axton.
Cooksey's dad was Hoyt Axton?
On the show. On the show.
Oh. I don't remember him peering up on that one.
He was on one or two episodes.
Oh.
Not the one where Grady, in the first season, Grady tried to come and get Arnold and Willis, saying he was their uncle.
Oh, yeah. Shady Grady.
Shady Grady.
Goo, 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 Fred.
All right, the next movie, movie, TV show, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Now, that's a holiday movie. Always makes me think of Thanksgiving because that's what it's set around. Right. He's trying to get home for Thanksgiving. Runs into John Candy. It's Steve Martin and John Candy. John Hughes movie came out in 1987. Pretty filthy movie.
Arguably his best, I would say. I think it's his best movie, yes. No. I've seen it more than any other.
Love it. I don't think it's better than Home Alone.
What?
No, hell no.
The old guy got
blasphemy.
The old guy got to me.
What?
You're crying at Home Alone?
Is that George?
Yeah, it's George.
The old guy got to me.
Yeah.
No, it was a John Hughes movie. Now, it's easy to argue what the best John Hughes film is. Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, those stand out.
Weird Science,
exactly.
Well, Weird Science is Ivan Reitman.
It is Ivan Reitman.
Oh, you're right.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Jeff and I saw that in the theater because Jeff got his license.
Oh, wow.
It was one of the, has a string of movies from 87 to 89. We saw pretty much everything.
Did Jeff masturbate at that one, too?
No.
As far as you know.
Only one movie has that distinction.
Del Griffith, though, is my second favorite John Candy role of all time, though.
First being Uncle Buck?
Uncle Buck, absolutely, Uncle Buck. But Del Griffith, he's just, you know, I didn't see it until, you know, in the end you find out his wife's really dead and he's just a lonely guy.
Touching.
But,
home by himself eating a dried bologna sandwich on the couch.
I love Steve Martin. That's one of his best roles.
It is. I like how they become friends at the end and Steve Martin realizes he's being such a dick and this guy's just a nice guy trying to, you know, get by.
But when he's a curmudgeon, that's when he's the funniest.
Oh, yeah.
When fucking car right fucking now.
That's in the intro.
Oh, love it.
You can start by wiping fucking grin off your fat, rosy fucking cheeks. I forgot when that came out on VHS. I got it for my grandma for Christmas.
Oh, you that one part?
It was, yeah. She goes, I want to watch it. So we sat watching. I was embarrassed.
That was back when you could do it was PG-13.
No, it was R.
It was R?
Mm-hmm.
Was it only R because of just that one part? Because I don't remember them saying the F word.
See, you forget. We've seen it on regular TV, edited so many times by now. You forget that it was a dirty one.
That train don't go there unless you're a hog or a cattle. Unless you're a hog or a cattle.
When he dries his face with Dell's underwear.
Yeah. Those aren't pillows.
And I love the part when they're driving the Renault Alliance after it's been burned out. Uh-huh. They're singing "Blue Moon of Kentucky, keep on shining."
And I didn't put this on there. Did you, Stephanie? Bart versus Thanksgiving.
You did.
Okay, I guess I did. Mm-hmm. Bad memory.
Oh, really?
Second season of The Simpsons. Second season of The Simpsons.
All 600 episodes are going to air starting Thanksgiving.
That's right.
What, on FXXXX? Yep.
I'm going to have to snort a
lot. Fuck you, life. I'm not going anywhere.
Fuck you, life.
This last Sunday's episode that said, I'm going to watch all 600. The chalkboard thing Bart wrote said something about, I'm going to watch all 600 episodes without sleeping.
That'd be impossible. You couldn't do that. How long would it take you to do that? How many days is that?
I think they're 14 days or something.
Jeez.
They should do that at Guantanamo, you know? Just to be that way.
This show is the best. Bart versus Thanksgiving. Remember, that's from 1990. That's how long ago. That was 26 fucking years ago.
Wow. Yeah, see, I'm a third season on guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen those, but I was only
some
into.
Some classic episodes in the second season. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. What was the one where Lisa makes the centerpiece for the table. She worked on it as a cornucopia. There's pilgrims on it and this and that and the other thing. And then Bart destroys it, brings the turkey out, and then they get in a big fight, and then he gets sent to his room, and then he runs away, and then he starts helping some homeless people, and then he comes back and apologizes to Lisa, and then they have the big, they just have leftovers for dinner. Huh. Go to your room, boy. No, back when Homer sounded like this. Go to bed, boy.
But, I like Castanella.
He's always done the voice, but he did it as Walter Matthau.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
He started out doing Walter Matthau.
He switched it up.
Yeah. Here's another one. A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. Now, everybody has seen the Halloween one. Everybody has seen the Christmas one. This one wasn't a tradition for me.
It wasn't for me either. I was more of I liked the Great Race Charlie Brown more than the Thanksgiving one. I don't know what it was about the Thanksgiving one. It just didn't get your heartstrings.
It was more of a Snoopy and Woodstock episode, because they ended up having a big Thanksgiving dinner. But the plot of this one, do you remember this one?
Well, is it the one where they're jumping into the leaves, or is that the Christmas one?
Well,
it's got to be the Thanksgiving
one. That's the Halloween one, I think.
Oh, okay.
You're thinking Halloween.
It starts off with Lucy getting Charlie Brown to try to kick the football.
Yeah.
And yanking it away, and he flies in the air. But the premise of it is Sally and Charlie are going to their grandma's house for Thanksgiving dinner. And Peppermint Patty, for some reason, doesn't have anywhere to go, so she invites herself over.
And, hey, Chuck.
Yeah. Peppermint Patty invites herself over to his place, decides to bring the Marcy, I guess. Wasn't that the name?
The little gay girl, yeah. No, I'm sorry. Peppermint Patty was the gay girl. Marcy was the...
I don't know that they ever...
Marcy was the Smithers.
Yes, yeah, she was. She always called Peppermint Patty sir.
She will eventually be there
sir,
with her.
Yes.
She always called him sir, yeah. called her sir. But yeah, yeah. Peppermint Patty was in love with Chuck, though. I don't think she was a lesbian. She's in love with Charlie Brown.
They were very confused back
then. She didn't know that she was allowed to be a lesbian.
Okay, I don't know that Charles Schulz really got into that.
I think Charlie had both sets of genitalia.
We were progressive back in the 60s.
Yes.
I was trying to make commentary as I was writing these cartoons.
And then for some reason they brought Franklin over.
The black kid?
Yeah. Integration, I guess.
Yeah, he never really had any good lines. They didn't do anything with him, though.
Uh-oh.
Like, they could have, you know, gave him some soul or some flair or something, and they just made him so bland.
Well, this came out originally November 20th, 1973. Now, I do remember it, but I don't remember it that well. And then Charlie Brown makes, like, candy and shit for dinner, and Peppermint Patty gets mad and yells at him because it's such a shitty dinner. And then Marcy makes Peppermint Patty apologize, but Peppermint Patty won't, so she sends Marcy up to do it herself, and then eventually Peppermint Patty apologizes to Charlie Brown, and then Charlie and Sally go to their grandparents, and they all go to Charlie Brown's grandparents and have dinner. Wah, 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 wah.
Wah, 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 wah.
And then Snoopy and Woodstock make a Thanksgiving dinner in Snoopy's doghouse where they eat turkey. Now, that's kind of weird with a bird eating a bird.
Yeah, actually, that is kind of odd.
Kind of weird.
That.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of weird that Snoopy never ate Woodstock. I mean, honestly. So, I mean.
Well, here's some more trivia for a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. It airs every year on ABC, but until 2001, it aired on CBS every year.
Oh, yeah. Because you remember whenever the Charlie Brown, any of the holiday specials would come on CBS, it would do that chung, chicka, chicka, chicka.
Oh, it had that thing that would spin around.
Yeah. Oh, my. I would fucking almost push my mom into the floor. Yeah. I could barrel into the living room.
See if they can find that.
No, we watched.
Dolly Madison was always the sponsor.
Yeah.
All
the commercials were for Dolly Madison.
Mm.
Now, turn me back up, Ira.
Was there an original? Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Let's see.
Turn me on, dead man.
Yeah.
They recorded that in the jungles of Africa.
That's how you hear Steph pushing her parents out of the way, knocking them to the floor.
Dolly Madison.
Well, we watched an original Charlie Brown movie, and it was long. It was like an hour long.
Which one is that? You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown?
That's it. Where he was in the spelling bee?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, when Snoopy's got the mouth organ.
Yeah.
Bang, 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 bang.
That's pretty trippy. And I remember seeing it, but I hadn't seen it.
That's what they're called.
It's a Jew's harp. I can say. You never heard that?
Why?
Why is
it called a Jew's harp?
The Jews wouldn't spring for an actual harp. They had to just...
I bought one of those things at a flea market once because of that Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
And I kept hitting my teeth with it.
Yeah,
because they're metal and it would go bong 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 bong.
I had one because there was a storyteller from the storytelling festival that would sell them.
Did you hit your teeth with them?
Yeah,
it hurt.
Yeah, it was a pain in the ass to try and learn how to
no
play.
No teeth, Jeff. I want to know the origins of this
saying?
Jew's harp thing.
Yeah, go ahead, Ira.
Oh, no, nothing. I hadn't remembered. I remembered seeing it when we started watching it, but I was like, oh, right. This was like the original. It was 1969.
Mm. And that's how Charlie Brown remembered to spell the words.
Right.
Is that the one with no dogs allowed?
Yeah. I think so. Well, I didn't get to watch the whole thing. Like, the kids were watching it, and by the way, it was the first time they ever heard the teacher go, wah, 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 wah.
Did they think it was funny?
Well, and I was in the kitchen, you know, doing something, and I heard them cracking up in the other room. And I came out, and they were dying laughing about it. They're like, did you hear the way the teacher's? I'm like, I know.
That's great.
They thought it was the funniest thing ever. I'm like, yeah.
You shared those member berries with them.
That's pretty funny.
Member. Yeah, member.
But there was a lot of jazz in that one. It was trippy, and it was cool. You know, it was definitely very 1969.
Yep.
Schroeder was jamming.
Yeah. And they had all, like, the trippy colors going on, like the Snoopy dream sequences going on. It was really...
I went to see, I forget what this dude's name is, at Smith's Old Bar a few years back, and he did the entire Charlie Brown Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
on this little piano.
Mm-hmm.
And,
really?
Yeah, it seemed like it was going to be cool, but I was...
Like, wait, he narrated it?
No, he just, like, played the whole thing.
Oh, the jazz song.
Yeah, I mean, it was
Lucy
like
and Linus, or Linus and... What is ever that song's called?
Yeah, it was like a whole thing, anyway. It was very hipster, avant-garde, blow my brains out in about 30 minutes type thing. I was ready to go, but anyway.
I don't like the avant-garde, no.
No?
Give me a melody.
Yeah, give me a C, a bouncy C.
Give me a chair if you're going to make me stand here. I don't want to fucking stand here and listen to this shit for like 2 hours.
This is great.
All right, so moving on to modern day Peanuts, the South Park gang. This goes back to November 22nd, 2000, which is also a long time ago.
Yeah.
Helen Keller, the musical.
Cabos.
Cabos! Cabos! You
know
that one?
Yeah. I don't know much South.
Well, they're doing a holiday. Where they're doing a holiday musical at their school for Thanksgiving, and it's Helen Keller the musical. So they're looking for a dog that can her dog, but they can't afford it. So they go to a farm to buy a turkey. So they send Kyle and Timmy out to get the turkey
because they wanted to do tricks.
They wanted a turkey to do tricks, jump through hoops and everything.
Fiery hoops.
Right. And they get to the farm, and there's all sorts of turkeys there. And then there's one that can't lift its head because its neck is screwed up, and it's, you know, it's kind of like a retarded turkey.
Yeah.
And that's the one Timmy likes. So they end up getting it because the farmer says, "Well, if you don't take him, I'm going to take him out back and shoot him."
Yeah.
And so they leave. Kyle leaves. They get back, and all the other kids are mad about it. But you put it on there, so go ahead.
No, that was it. You know, and when he brings the turkey into the, you know, it's kind of like. On the Charlie Brown Christmas special, whenever he shows up with that Christmas tree,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, "What the hell is this shit?" It was the same thing when they showed up with it. Cartman was like, "Stan, can I talk to you for a second?" He's like, "What the fuck is this?" And so, anyway, Timmy, you know, tries to prove him wrong, and he takes the Gobbles home, and he lights his little ring, and he gets Gobbles to jump through the fiery
hoop.
He trains him up and coaches him up and everything like that. But
Gobbles.
Yeah.
This reminds me, there's an old PlayStation game that Jeff bought. It was the first South Park game, and he played it all the time, and I could hear it in my room, just these turkeys were attacking me. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
What was that game called?
I can't remember.
And you had to throw, you just threw snowballs at turkeys, and it was just constantly for hours.
You gotta find that audio in that game.
Man, these are old shows. So a couple other things. Now, you had also put down on there, Stephanie, the Roseanne Thanksgiving 91 episode.
Yes, the one where her...
they have more than one Roseanne Thanksgiving episode, but this is the most memorable one.
This, to me, it was in particular just because it's the one where Roseanne's dad, Carl Reiner, we find out that he's been cheating on her crazy-ass mother. And so there's like a big, you know.
I remember that.
Yeah. It was a really good episode. It was deep and, you know, Jackie, I think.
Tonight on a very special episode of Roseanne.
I think it's the one where Jackie tells him that she's a cop and then there's all this crazy commotion and Dan's mom brings her new husband and she's a fucking wackadoo too. Dan's dad was dead.
No, Dan's dad was played by, who was it? It was the guy that got his ass raped in Deliverance.
Ned Beatty.
Ned Beatty. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Right. I forgot. So Ned Beatty was there, duh.
Yeah. Okay.
Obviously. Yeah. Ned Beatty and Carl Reiner.
Yeah.
That was such great thing about that show. I mean, I didn't even, you know, realize it at the time how the caliber of actors that she was.
Roseanne. I'm in the new King Kong movie.
Well, good for you.
Skull Island.
Well, I am on an island, and I'm making nuts. I'm growing nuts.
Roseanne, you can't be doing that macadamia nut thing.
We're not doing macadamias. We're doing pistachios.
All right, then.
And growing a lot of weed, too. Of
she is nuts, though.
Yeah, and
nuts. That's my business.
By the way, he is in that King Kong Skull Island movie.
That looks good.
I know it does. Looks Dr. Really Steve Brule living on the island of the native.
Yeah.
I liked the Peter Jackson movie.
I did too.
Yeah, me too.
It was all right.
Yeah.
It got a lot of shit, but I liked it.
No, I thought it was good.
Well, Samuel L. Jackson's in this one.
Oh.
Nothing can top the 1977 one.
You don't think
Was it 77 or 76?
What's her name?
Jessica Lange.
Jessica Lange.
Yeah, Jessica Lange.
Dewan.
I liked that.
Oh, Jeff Bridges at his hottest.
With a long beard.
They were both. They were both at their hottest.
Charles Grodin.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That fucker.
That fucker.
And Charles Grodin.
So we go back, 30 years to November 22nd, 1986, the Cheers Thanksgiving Orphans episode, which is one of the best episodes ever of that show.
Best episodes ever.
I remember.
Yes. Well, it's the one where they all go to Norm's place.
Yeah.
And, you know, they all brought something. Norm was supposed to provide the turkey, and it just, like, is never getting done. And they're sitting there with all this food getting cold on the table.
Yeah.
And they're all lonely anyway. And, you know, they've just all decided to come together like they were lonely losers.
Didn't have family, yeah.
Yeah.
And Diane had a... was dressed up as a Puritan or a pilgrim.
Right.
And, you know.
And it was Surly Frazier, not like Pussy Frazier.
Oh,
I love
yes.
Surly Frazier.
He was very bitter.
Yeah.
It was great. And then it just.
Oh, come on now, Woody.
And it finally, you know, just culminated into a huge food fight. Oh,
yeah.
My God. Yeah. It was an intense, severe food fight. But yeah, it was one of their funniest episodes.
Frazier hits Woody in the face with the gravy skin.
Whatever. Shelley Long or whatever, Diane, like, she just goes, I have never, and then schlop.
Yes.
Like,
I do remember that.
And then Carla says, the skin on the gravy, you could walk on the gravy. And then earlier I played Alice's Restaurant. There's the song came out in 67. And, you know, like we were talking about, it became a kind of a classic rock radio tradition. The River will be playing it this year. And then the film came out in 69. And the film had a lot of interesting people in it. In the intro, you'll hear a little piece with M. Emmett Walsh.
Oh.
Or you heard.
Die, gas pumper.
Yeah. Not that pretty good. We don't like your kind around here, kid.
Ba-bar.
Doing a stretch over at 9 miles. Charles Barkley. No, not that mother scratcher. And then last but not least, dishonorable mention was the Star Wars holiday special from November 17th, 1978.
Like, even when you were a kid, didn't you know that was terrible?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. First of all, it had people in it that shouldn't have been anywhere near Star Wars.
B. Arthur.
Mm. Harvey Korman. Who else, Jeff? Oh, Art Carney.
Mm.
Introduced Boba Fett, though.
Yeah, it did. There was a cartoon for Boba Fett. But he was like 2 hours long.
Weren't you like, what is this bastardization of this movie that I love? I mean, what have they done?
My mom, I think my mom didn't let me, for some reason, didn't want me to watch it or whatever, but I had a TV in my room, so I watched it anyway. I knew I couldn't watch it in the living room, so I watched it in black and white. But it was weird because it was just stupid.
Yeah.
Chewbacca's wife, dad, and kid, right? Mm-hmm. And they all have dumb names. Like, his son's name was Lumpy. And for some reason, they're trying to prevent Chewbacca from getting home. The Empire is, and there's like there's one or two stormtroopers. Darth Vader's in it, and there's a lot of stock footage from Star Wars of the you know, the big Star Destroyers flying through. And for some reason, Luke is there, and
yeah, I mean, I know how notorious that
is. Oh, Jefferson Starship does a horrible song in it, too.
Oh, were they still Jefferson Airplane at that
point?
No,
they're Jefferson Starship.
It was before Starship.
Uh-huh.
Gotcha.
What were you saying, Ira?
I've never seen the whole thing. Like, I've seen clips of it.
You can only see it on YouTube.
And I know the legacy of it, and I've heard about it all my life, basically, but and how bad it is.
Life Day is a holiday for everyone. And then Carrie Fisher sings what is a terrible song.
I don't ever remember, did they ever have a Thanksgiving dinner in this show?
They had a Life Day dinner. That was the holiday, Life Day.
What did they, do you remember what they ate?
No. No, because it ends with them getting back with, like, Han and Chewie. And Han picks up the kid, and he's hugging him. And he goes, hey, we got Chewie back. And, oh, yeah, here you go. And, oh, we tried. Blah, blah, blah. And I saw an interview with Harrison Ford. I watched it on YouTube yesterday, and they were asking him about it. This is an old interview.
Yeah.
And he's like, I was there, buddy. Yeah, it was in my contract.
I'm trying to remember. I don't think I've ever seen Chewbacca eat anything.
Well, he probably can't.
That's what I wonder. What is Chewie food?
Probably eats
what
his
does
own
he
poop?
Eat?
Because he's a dog.
He's a fecal freak.
Yeah. Laugh it up, Fuzzball. That's never been released though on anything, right?
No. You can buy bootlegs of it, but you can watch the whole thing online now anyway.
Yeah, why wouldn't they release it, though? At least a high quality version on Blu-ray.
George Lucas adds in a bunch of digital.
That would be a fun.
I decided to go back in and make it watchable.
Should do like a double feature with that. What is it? The Sergeant Pepper's movie that's so bad.
That's not a terrible movie.
Really?
No, that's
because that's
good
another
movie.
One. Same deal. I've never seen the whole thing, but I've seen clips and how.
I enjoy the Sergeant Pepper movie with the Bee Gees and
really
and, Peter Frampton.
That movie gets a lot of shit.
I know it does, but it's get George Burns singing and fixing a hole. So how could you go wrong?
I don't know.
Fixing a hole where the rain gets in.
I gotta see.
But
that
the
sometime.
Star Wars one, that might be fun to MST 3000.
It would be if you could get the rights. Mm. Disney. There's a scene where Bea Arthur plays a bartender, and Harvey Korman plays a bunch of different characters. He plays like a woman that they parody. They actually parody the character that he did on Futurama. Mom, is that her name?
Oh, yeah, Mom.
That is a parody of the character Harvey Korman played, where he's a woman, a cook, like a Julia Child thing. Anyway, but Harvey Korman also goes into the cantina where Bea Arthur is a bartender. She goes, "You're not drinking. You haven't made an order." Where blah, blah, blah. She's like a surly bartender. And he orders a drink, and he has a hole in his head, and he pours the drink into his head. it's stupid.
Yeah.
But
very,
I don't know.
Very
if you got a couple hours to kill and a big bag of weed and YouTube, you're good to go.
I could say that about a lot of shit.
Yeah, really.
So what are we leaving out? Do you guys think of anything?
What, Thanksgiving specific?
Special shows, no. Movies, TV.
I got nothing. Jeff? What do you got, Jeff?
You don't care?
Nah.
All right, good. Now I don't feel so bad for not delivering. What do you want?
What time? How long have we been talking?
45.
We really have been talking 45
minutes.
Yeah,
this is the labyrinth, man.
Well, shit. Holy fuck, man. That
time flies.
Yeah.
All right. We got to talk about Walking Dead in Westworld.
No, we have to talk about Westworld. We have to. Yes.
Well,
Ira hasn't seen it, though.
I haven't seen it, but go ahead.
Conundrum. There's another thing.
No conundrum. Just go for it. I don't give a shit.
All right.
Well, I came up with a new idea I want to do, and you guys, if you don't like it, we don't have to do it. I'm just kind of like, pushing it forward. But who'd you come up with the name, Jeff?
Yeah, the ADO.
Yeah. I want to do something on the 80s every week, whether it be long.
Every week?
Yeah, why not? Sure. Or every other week, whatever.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's us. That's
I'm
our generation.
I'd love to remember a time before everything was fucked.
Remember the 80s? I remember. Remember Ronald Reagan? I remember.
So, Jeff came up with the name, ADO Labyrinth. I like it.
I like it too. Killer. ADO. That's cool.
And this week we will focus on Eddie Murphy movies, right? We've seen all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Eddie Murphy?
He is a quintessential 80s figure.
Remember Beverly Hills Cop? I remember.
I remember.
I remember.
All right, we'll be right back.
Roxanne!
If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on iTunes and like us and give us ratings. We'll read them at the end of the show. Also, follow us on Twitter at @radio_labyrinth and on Facebook, Radio Labyrinth.
I'm looking for Victor Meadlin.
You realize that this is a members-only club.
Mm-hmm, but I have to talk to Victor. It's very, very important.
Are you sure it's Victor Maitland?
Oh, yes. Victor Maitland, the gray-haired gentleman, very dark-skinned, Capricorn. Victor.
Well, why don't you give me the message, and I'll take it to him.
Okay, I guess I can do that. Tell Victor that Ramon, the fella he met about a week ago, tell him that Ramon went to the clinic today, and I found out that I have, herpes simplex 10.
All right, listen up. I don't like white people. I hate rednecks. You people are rednecks. It means I'm enjoying this shit.
What kind of cop are you?
You know what I am? I'm your worst fucking nightmare, man. I'm a nigga with a badge. That means I got permission to kick your fucking ass whenever I feel like it.
Good afternoon, Mr. Gerard.
Hi.
So you're the finder of lost children.
Oh, you must have saw me on television. Yeah, I like working with children. Shut up! If I ever get married, I have to go off to the woods of Africa and find me some crazy, naked zebra bitch that knows nothing about money. She got to be butt naked on a zebra with a big bone in her nose and a big plate lip and a big fucked up afro.
A man goes into a restaurant, he sits down, he's having a bowl of soup. He says to the waiter, "Waiter, come, taste the soup." Waiter says, "Is something wrong with the soup?" He says, "Taste the soup." He Because there's something wrong with the soup. Is the soup too hot? He says, will you taste the soup? It's wrong. Is the soup too cold? Will you just taste the soup? All right, I'll taste the soup. Where's the spoon? Aha. What do you know from funny, you bastard?
How come I don't see no marks on you?
Yeah.
Because I'm a karate man, all right? Karate man rules on the inside. They don't show their weaknesses. But you don't know that because you're a big Barry White-looking motherfucker. Now get off my back, all right? Wish my bitches hurry up and get here. I ain't got no time to be sitting inside this cell with you.
What is your bitches, Mr. Big Time Pimp? Yeah. So we're back.
Yeah, we're back. That was a nice little Eddie Murphy montage. Nice.
Put your coals out on my floor.
Who been putting the coals out? What?
It was the motherfucker we was going to call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's your limo right outside? Yeah.
They are very...
what does he say? When he said, like...
You talking about the butler?
Yeah, jacuzzi, sir. See, I knew y'all was faggots. You ain't gonna jacuzzi nobody. It's a whirlpool bath, sir. I think you'll enjoy it.
When you think of love, do your heart beat round and round?
Ha! Oh, I love Eddie Murphy, especially from the '80s.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't really paid much attention. Before we get to Adio Labyrinth, again, great name, Jeff. We're gonna be talking about Eddie Murphy movies from the '80s. But Jeff, I want you to thank your buddy Jeff.
Oh yeah, thanks Jeff Monconian for coming on and.
Thanks, man.
A lot of people like that version of Driver 8.
We should mention that the remake show has been rescheduled to the January 21st.
How come?
I don't know. Something's going on that following week.
Okay.
So I want to see one of these Baldwin shows.
He's doing a show.
Inauguration. Yeah, the my favorite Baldwin are playing, I forget the date, sometime in December.
Uh-huh. Oh, they are playing. Yeah. I would like to see
that. It's a benefit show somewhere in Buckhead, I think.
I'll have to go see them together some night.
That would be fun.
And the remakes are good, so. When is that show again, Jeff?
January 21st. Tickets are at venkmans.com.
And how can people find out more about the remakes?
And they have a Facebook page, The Remakes.
R-E-M-A-K-E-S.
Yeah. See, I would never say that. I'm not like a huge R.E.M. fan, but he is great.
Jeff posted a great thing on his Facebook page. Michael Stipe and Mike Mills were on, what, the Today Show?
No, I think it was... The Sunday morning.
Oh, CBS NBC. Sunday morning, yeah.
Yeah, one of those.
They were talking about the 20th anniversary?
25th anniversary of Out of Time.
Out of Time, yeah. It's a good interview. Stipe looks cool with his beard and his nose piercing.
Right.
Yeah, I couldn't leave my house. Anyway, yeah, so thanks again, Jeff, and thanks again for the great cookies. But
oh,
now
God,
it's
chat. Yes.
Oh, yeah, they were the shit.
I've been
trying to get a damn catering menu, but I can't get it to print.
Oh, well.
Anyway.
That's a problem on your end.
It is. I need to update my browser. Something's wrong.
Pilot Air.
Adio Labyrinth. Radio Labyrinth walked through the 1980s, and we're going to talk about Eddie Murphy movies. A lot of classic Eddie Murphy movies, a couple of duds, but more hits than misses in the 80s for Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't start striking out until the 90s.
After The Nutty Professor, things just started going to shit for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, The Nutty Professor's great, and so is the sequel. The sequel's funny.
Yeah, but I think it was probably after the transvestite thing.
Huh?
After he picked up the transvestite and then he said he didn't know, okay. That's when things started kind of going bad for him.
Hey, he was just offering her a ride.
Right. Right. Bowfinger is a good movie, too.
Yeah.
That's a Steve Martin movie. Yeah,
it hinges on him though, too, though.
But when Eddie plays that guy who's like in
the dork.
Yeah, but that's his brother. When he plays the real actor is a guy who's trying to get a slave movie because he wants an Oscar.
Yeah.
And he's a Scientologist. But anyway, we're digressing. Kicking off Eddie Murphy's first feature film in the '80s was 48 Hours with Nick Nolte.
Such a great movie.
Yeah, and you know Nick Nolte, I guess, was supposed to be the star. Of the film, really
I loved
was.
Loved him
the lead.
In that.
So who, Nolte?
Yeah, I just thought it was so fucking cool.
The whole movie's good.
He's so racist.
Yeah.
It was completely acceptable.
But it was believable for that time. Yeah, and he drove that shitty car, and it was in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I forget the name of the actor who played Gans, but he's been in a lot of things. Yeah. Well, he was on Dexter. He was Dexter's dad.
Wasn't he in The Warriors?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was.
James Remar.
Yeah, James Remar. And he was also in Sex and the City.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But he was Gans, and Gans was a bad motherfucker. And I watched this movie for the first time on HBO because my mom never would have taken me to see it. It was a rated R movie. Mm-hmm. But we all loved Eddie Murphy because of SNL. And it was so violent. Remember the beginning when they go to the chain gang and Billy Bear breaks Gans out of jail, or one of the other. Billy Bear is the Indian guy. And then Denise Crosby. That's her name, right?
Yeah. From Star Trek?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And from
Ray
Donovan. She plays one of the girlfriends when they go to their house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, looking for Billy Bear. just such a great movie. A lot of great lines. You know, Eddie Murphy singing Roxanne in the prison cell. And him trying to get laid.
I remember when I was a kid watching that, I couldn't figure out why he had to go get him.
Right.
Or why he needed him. I mean, I loved it. But it wasn't until years later where I was like, oh, I see what's going on.
Yeah.
It has a great ending.
Yeah. Oh, and that guy from, what's his name? Sully from Trading Places. I see, I don't remember these actors' names, these character actors, and I should. But he was Sully, and he was the guy who had the money.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knew where to find Reggie's car, Reggie Hammond.
It was a nice car, too.
Yeah, it was.
Porsche, wasn't it?
Could have been. I don't remember.
I think it was Porsche.
It was way better than... and Annette O'Toole's in it, too.
Yeah.
Used to love Annette O'Toole back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Love me some Annette O'Toole.
I liked Peter O'Toole.
Peter O'Toole. So, you know, we're not doing these in any order, but 48 Hours, you know, if you've never seen it, which I find it hard to believe.
What about another 48
not
Hours?
Not good. Yeah. Not good. And that came out in 1990.
But so 48 Hours was the first feature that he did kind of after his SNL fame?
He was still on SNL when that came out.
Okay, so that was like the first big movie that
right.
he did.
Right. And then the next one was Trading Places, which is my favorite.
Yeah.
Classic.
I have to watch it every year at Christmas. Home Alone. Christmas Story.
Dan Aykroyd.
Mm-hmm. It was the Dukes. It was the Dukes.
That's when I was like, oh my God. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Boobs.
Yeah, Lee Curtis, boobs. 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 Boobs.
Yeah, she had a great rag.
She did.
Yeah.
Probably still does.
I like her as a Swede.
Oh, yeah, that whole...
In the train.
Yeah, but Al Franken and Tom Davis, is that his name?
Yeah.
Which got very ridiculous, of course. But.
Yeah, but it was great.
Yeah.
Jim Belushi. Yeah. Monkey, I'm a fucking gorilla.
Right.
Oh, and
Merry New Year.
No, in this country we say Happy New Year.
Oh, I love when
Merry New Year.
When Aykroyd has his complete meltdown as drunken, disgusting Santa at the big party. Yeah. That was great.
He's stuffing like fish in his pocket.
He's your drug dealer, not me. Winthorpe.
Oh, him and his old lady, whenever they're going to get it on.
Mm-hmm.
They're mechanical, the way they undress and that other stuff in front of the...
Nobody wants to buy your drugs here, Louie.
They were going to make a sequel to 48 Hours after Coming to America, but those guys died.
Oh.
Amici died first, didn't he? Bellamy
they
died.
They both died.
Ralph Bellamy, they're at the end. Well, they're in a scene in, remember in Coming to America where they give money to the homeless guy?
Yeah.
Mortimer, we're back.
We're back, yeah.
Pork bellies.
I remember what I was going
to... Pork bellies. I knew it. Such a great movie. So many great
These are commodities.
Yes.
Pork bellies, like you might find on a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich.
And then the Eddie Murphy just looks...
Yeah, he looks at the camera.
I love it when they pick him up for the first time and he's in the limousine and there's a black driver and he goes, hey, man, what's my next move? And the guy just shakes his head and he goes, these two are a couple of faggots, then, ain't they? The guy just shakes his head and goes, thank you, you've been very helpful.
Yeah, right.
Or whenever they take him into the... into Winthrop's house for the first time, and he's just stealing.
Yeah, this is my house. This is my TV. Yeah, you're just gonna give me this TV too. Yeah, and this is my vase, right? Oh God, I'm gonna watch that tonight.
Yeah,
you could.
You could probably.
Sure, you could find it somewhere.
Probably. I own it, but I don't have a DVD player.
Is your PlayStation?
Don't have a I don't have it hooked up.
We might as well just buy the digital download of that.
Yeah.
It's not on Netflix.
I have a problem paying for digital downloads. Oh, I have this thing that I carry around on a thing. Here's my digital library. It's on a stick.
Well,
you know.
I like a big digital library.
I bet you do.
Sure you do.
Yeah. Your favorite website is blacked.com.
Blacked.
I've been waiting for you, Billy Ray. Put your clothes on and get out of here. All right, after Trading Places, what do we have next? Of course, Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, yeah. My God, that was so good.
That is his iconic movie.
That shapes some of my comedic knowledge of the early 80s.
Yeah.
I lived in Detroit at that time. It was the law that you go see this movie. Oh, yeah. I waited in line. My stepdad took me to see it, and we waited in line for, like, I don't even know, 2 hours for tickets to see it. That's how,
really?
Yes, it was a very big deal when it premiered.
Did you have the Mumford Phys Ed shirt?
No, I did not have it. I would like to have it now. I'd like to have that as a sweatshirt.
I have one.
Yeah?
Well, I don't have it now, but I had one then, yeah.
Wow. Oh, really? I would like to have that.
I had to have that.
But I remember I laughed so hard, I cried. Me and my stepdad both, it was like the funniest thing we'd ever seen.
Brunson Pinchot.
Yeah.
Surge. No, really.
No, it is. It's very important.
A little lemon twist.
And Victor Maitland. What else did that guy in? He was in he's in Rambo.
Oh, and just obviously the best Jonathan Banks. See Jonathan Banks when he's all young and delightful.
I know.
Evil.
Yeah, when he was on Breaking Bad, I was like, oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Classic bad guy, Jonathan Banks.
He killed
who was the heavy.
He killed he killed Eddie Murphy's friend.
Exactly.
Yeah, his dumbass friend, yeah.
German Barabons.
And then there's,
Jeff Reiser.
Jens Reinhold.
Wait, Jeff Reiser?
Paul Reiser?
Paul Reiser.
His name was Jeff,
yeah. La, 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 I'm not listening to Jeffrey.
Is that fucking Foley in here? Well, I'm thinking of the guy who was Marvin Dorfman in Midnight Run.
Who's
that actor?
He was Bogum. No, he wasn't Bogumil, he was Taggart.
He was Judge Reinhold's sidekick.
Yeah, Taggart.
Taggart, that's
right. The one who couldn't lie.
What's that actor's name?
John Ashton.
Yeah.
Ah,
he's
right.
Deceased.
Is he?
Yeah, he died of cancer a while ago. He was on Law and Order for a while.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna fall for no bananas in the tailpipe? No, man, you gotta say it like this. We ain't gonna fall for no banana in the tailpipe.
Police, come out with your hands up. You do that again, Billy, I'll kill you.
Great soundtrack, by the way.
Yeah.
Phil! You said it wasn't you, but I knew it was you. I said, Phil.
and the guy from Arthur. Mm. He played the police commissioner. No, Susan's father.
Yeah, he dies in the second one.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Bogomil was Pete, what's his name?
Ronnie Cox.
Ronnie Cox. And I saw Ronnie Cox once.
And then the Nazi-looking guy is the main bad guy. Who's that guy?
Victor Maitland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got that thing in the middle of his forehead.
Yes, he was the Russian in Rambo. Rambo Part 2.
And the other guy, and then the police chief or whatever in Beverly Hills, he was also Total Recall, right?
Yeah, oh, he's the
dick. Yeah, he's the dick. No, not Total Recall. He is.
Mm-hmm.
He is the dick.
He was the chief in Point Break, too.
But he's the dick in Total Recall, but he's also the dick in RoboCop, speaking of Detroit.
Oh, yeah. He just played the dick. Yeah.
And
wasn't
he the dick in Ghostbusters? The guy that shut
down? No, that was Richard Thornburg.
Like
his name was Dick in his name was Dick in RoboCop.
Really?
Yeah.
Dick Johnson.
No, I don't think it was Dick Johnson. Red is also in RoboCop.
Red?
Red.
Boddicker. Dick Boddicker.
Yeah. Boddicker.
Why, you cocksucker motherfucker. Oh, not that red.
He spits in RoboCop's face because you can't arrest people from OCP.
Oh, right.
Yeah. OCP is the cops.
Yeah, they have a statue of RoboCop in Detroit.
They do?
Oh, yeah?
They sure do.
Wow, that's cool.
This is a great magical place, this Detroit.
No,
I
it's not.
Visit it sometime.
I do remember I had an ex-boyfriend. He was horrible. And he, one Halloween, it was Devil's Night, as a matter of fact, he wanted to go and paint the Joe Louis fist white. Just to stir up trouble.
Oh. You know,
that was like a whole thing. It never happened. But
holy shit.
Yeah, that was going to be his whole thing.
Joe Louis was 75 years old. He fought Rocky Marciano.
You never met Martin Luther the King.
You ain't never met Martin Luther the King. You ain't never met Frank Sinatra. Fuck you. Fuck you. And fuck you.
Next.
Next.
Well, Coming to America. Next. That was toward the end, though. What was that 87, 88? 88. Yeah, Jeff and I saw that at the theater. Very good movie. John Amos.
Just let your soul glow.
Yeah.
Well, see, they have the golden arches. We have the golden arcs.
McDowell's.
McDowell's.
Yeah. You know who the actor was who tried to rob McDowell's?
Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. The diseased rhinoceros pizzle.
Probably right before he was in Goodfellas.
Probably so, yes.
And then James Earl Jones played his dad, didn't he?
The King of Zamunda. Zamunda. Eddie Murphy got sued for that.
Really?
Yeah, by Art Buchwald.
Why?
Remember Art Buchwald, the humorist?
He had written the original story.
Yeah, he wrote the treatment.
Oh,
yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't he give him credit?
He did, eventually.
Yeah, he had to.
Because he sued him for the credit? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Coming to America, everybody, it's on TV all the time. This is a great movie.
Arsenio.
He wanted to switch apartments with the landlord.
Yeah.
Mm. And he goes, oh, yeah, you'll love it. It's a real shithole.
Oh, but didn't, what's his face?
Arsenio. He jazzed it up. Yeah, he put the hot tub and all that.
He ended up banging the girl's little sister.
Arsenio
was so great in that movie.
Yeah, he was.
Well, that was Sexual Chocolate.
No, Sexual Chocolate was Eddie Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the children are the future. Teach them well and let them lead the way.
That boy's good.
Yeah. So if loving the Lord is wrong, I never want to be right.
Oh, God, this is such a member Barry sequence, but segment. That's but anyway, fine. I don't give a shit. All right, so before Coming to America, though, and after Beverly Hills Cop, we had The Golden Child, which was sort of meh. I don't really remember it.
I liked it when I was a kid. I want the knife.
So, that scroll you got there, it looks like a big joint. You could roll it up and smoke it.
Oh, and the CGI, and that was horrible at the end with the demon.
Yeah.
Awful.
I'm sure it's horrible. I haven't seen it since I was a kid, but of course...
It's
in
terrible.
The 80s, we loved it.
All right, so the worst Eddie Murphy movie in the 1980s was Best Defense.
He had such a small role in that, didn't he?
Well, they weren't
drove the tank or whatever.
Yeah. Dudley Moore invented an oscillating engine for a tank, and then 2 years later, I mean, the movie's set in two different timelines, but it's Dudley Moore and Eddie Murphy, and it's about a tank and Afghanistan or Iraq or whatever. Really bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
But you watch it because Eddie Murphy was in it, and then you said, this is pretty shitty.
It's pretty terrible.
Yeah, I think I'll just watch Holy Moses and if I want to enjoy a Dudley Moore movie from the 80s. Or Arthur,
which is one of the best movies.
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah, the second one sucks.
Yeah, On the Rocks, no.
No.
Well, what about the Russell Brand remake?
Never saw it. Never
Come
will.
On.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I never saw it.
And then I guess he ended it up with Raw, which was great.
Oh,
when
sure.
When we saw that in the theater, the projector broke.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
So Jeff and I got up and did lines from Delirious for 20 minutes.
Did?
Didn't we get up?
I don't remember that.
It was you
in
and
the
me.
Theater?
Yeah, we saw it in the theater with this kid named Matt Lawson and another friend of ours named Matt Leach. Or Elliot Long. No, it was Elliot Long, not Matt.
Okay.
So the four of us went up there and the movie broke, so they had to reset it. And Jeff and I got up and did lines from Delirious.
Did you do a Goonie Goo Goo Gus?
We did all that shit.
No shit.
Yeah. And
it was a good response?
And people were laughing, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You did the Mr. T-bit?
I don't remember. I think we probably had the wherewithal to not be...
totally.
To not do all that stuff.
I mean, we were.
Bend over. I'm going to crunch up your butt cheeks. I'm going to rip your dick off.
Not
we did friend. That one. We did that one. Yeah.
Come here. I want to show you something.
I know you want to fuck me, Norton. And you know that I know that you know that I know that you want to fuck me. And I do. Stop fucking. And then I guess Beverly Hills Cop 2 was the last one. That really wasn't very good. We
stinker.
Saw that in the theater as well. Huh?
This was a stinker.
It wasn't
Brigitte.
Bad.
They had Brigitte Nielsen in it.
It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't good.
Well, there were a lot of it was based around Judge Reinhold's character, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah.
Like, he was kind of like the big...
Never.
Well, yeah, he became a gun nut.
Right.
Yeah, because he killed all those people in Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
But it had the guy from CSI on it with blonde hair. You remember the police officer that was always on CSI?
I don't know.
Oh, shit, man. Now I got to look it up. I feel like this is like our second show and I can't remember.
Member?
I can't remember.
CSI, Beverly... Beverly Hills, that's where I want to be. I'm going to find his name before we keep going. Oh.
Paul Guilfoyle.
Yep, thank you.
Guilfoyle.
Yeah. Leave it to Jeffrey.
Paul Guilfoyle. Good actor.
It's Martin Starr's character in Silicon mm-hmm. Valley.
Yeah.
So,
Guilfoyle. I wonder if they swipe that from there.
That's ADO Labyrinth. It'll evolve. It'll grow. It'll
I like
be a little
that.
Different
that was fun.
Thing. We can, everybody, we can suggest things. You can suggest stuff to us.
Yeah. gotta suggest stuff.
Can we do hair metal one week? Come on.
I don't care.
We can do anything. That's what it's for.
I love hair metal.
But that's
remember
our.
Striper?
Oh, God. No, I don't remember.
You don't remember getting hit in the face with a Bible? Remember that? The myth of that?
Devil.
Yeah, the myth of that you go to their shows and then you'd have. There's that girl and she got hit in the face with a Bible and it said Holy Bible on her forehead because he hit her so hard.
Yeah.
Remember when you wore that Twisted Sister pin on your uniform?
What is it?
Speaking of Twisted Sister, I just watched a documentary about them on Netflix.
I heard it was good.
Twisted Fucking Sister.
Yeah, that was good.
It's old. It's 2 years old, but it was really good. Yeah. I love how they do their whole thing, and then they get to the point where they break it bad. They break big, and they're like, you can see that in the next movie.
I was like Dee Snider.
I did too, yeah, but I didn't D's know great. That they had started in the early 70s mm-hmm. as a cover band and doing glam, and he wasn't even in the band. And that's a really good movie. Mm-hmm. So it's on Netflix, Twisted Fucking Sister, right?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, it's a good one.
Or Twisted F Asterix. Sister.
Exactly, yeah.
All right. So there's ADO Labyrinth. If you have any suggestions, just go ahead and hit us up on the Facebook.
Gaga.
Sure, there will be suggestions.
ADO Gaga. Get to work on that, John Mark.
Shout out.
Yeah, there you go.
He's got enough to do right now.
I know he does. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't bust you around like that. So what do you want to do now? Staff picks?
Yeah.
Wait, I thought we were going to talk about fucking Westworld.
Oh, yeah, shit, we didn't do that at all.
No, or Walking Dead.
All right, Walking Dead and Westworld. We haven't been...
Both of which I'm going to have to sit on the sidelines.
We don't even watch The Walking Dead.
Right. Westworld, I just missed last night, but go for it. I don't give a shit.
All right, Jeff, you watched Walking Dead, right?
Yes.
Here's my takeaway from last night's episode. Spoiler alert! Gregory is a pussy. Simon is a motherfucker. Maggie and Sasha saved Hilltop from... The Message, which was an old gremlin with a speaker in it.
Yeah, that was the most unbelievable thing that a gremlin would still be running.
I know. I love the little metal middle finger on the back of it, too. Jesus is setting Maggie up to run the show, which I guess runs congruent with the comic book, right?
Right.
And it's sort of the prelude to war because you see Carl and Jesus doing recon at the end and Sasha sharpening her knife. The only thing I didn't like about last night's episode, and then I'll turn it over to you guys, was Carl and Enid finding the roller skates. I thought it was fucking stupid.
I thought their whole love story thing, and it's troubling to me how much Carl looks like Don Wiener from Welcome to the Dollhouse now that his hair has grown out. I can hardly even look at him. Every time I look at him, I think he's the Special People's Club.
Oh, geez.
But I don't know. I thought it was snooze fest.
You didn't like it at all?
To me, Maggie episodes of Walking Dead are like Lisa episodes of The Simpsons.
Okay,
I don't
I get it.
Care.
But Maggie's starting to come out of being... I don't know, crushed by... And they're using her...
Her last name
now, yeah. too. Instead of Maggie Green, they're using... What is it?
Ree.
Maggie Ree.
Don't care.
Well, all right. Jeff, explain why that's important.
Significant.
Well, she decided that when she stood up to Gregory, she said, and, you know, remember my name.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Maggie Ree.
Yeah.
Don't try and say babe or... Sweetheart or whatever.
Or Marcia.
Right.
Remember.
And she did basically the same in the comic books. Gregory was like much more of a dick in the comic books than kind of inept.
Yeah.
This guy's playing him, but he's in the comic books as well.
Yeah. Jesus is in the comic books too?
Yeah, Jesus is in the comic books and Gregory and...
So they don't really get into it on the TV show, but why is Jesus so supportive of Alexandria? Like, why does he like them so much? Or is he just a real good guy?
No, he's just a good guy in general. He likes everybody, I think,
mm-hmm.
except for Negan.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the episode last week better than this one.
Last week's was good.
Yeah.
I love how he cucked...
He cucked him.
He did cuck him. Carry him a bat. Made him carry that bat around. And Caitlin and I were watching this. Why doesn't she hit him with the bat? And I go, the point of it is that he is so... In what's the word I'm looking for besides cucked?
That really does describe it.
It
though.
Is though, you know, it's like he's carrying his dick around. Yeah. Lucille is Negan's dick.
Yeah, yeah, and he's so needly. He just fucking needles him the whole time.
Then they take all their mattresses and set them on fire at the end. That pissed me off.
I thought that was, but I mean, you know, that's just like we don't want you to be comfortable. We didn't need them, but screw
right.
you.
Fuck
you know?
You guys.
Exactly.
Taking all the guns. I think there are guns buried in. In the grave, in Maggie's fake grave.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that for sure.
Because Gabriel is smart enough to do something like that.
Well, I mean, I see what, and then the next week we got, we're going back to Carol, I guess. We're going to find out what's, no, not Carol. What's her face? The lesbian chick, her, and then the other dude, which they never did show whatever happened to Corey.
Who are you talking about?
Well, you know, the little Mexican-looking girl. Do you know what I'm talking about? The little chubby.
Rosita?
No. The little chubby lesbian girl.
I know who you're talking about, but what about her?
They're going back to her next week.
Okay.
So, you know how they do. Like, yeah. They'll focus on different groups or whatever. So, the next week, it's they're talking about her and, I don't know, I guess the dude that played Dr. Dre in Straight Outta Compton, we never did see what the hell happened to him.
He's back?
I think. I don't know. But anyway.
Well, I thought I saw Negan in the trailer. Or in the previews.
It did look like they were going to talk about
him. Now, are you all caught up on the comic books, Jeff?
Yeah.
So, you're up to Whisper War?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Are those the ones where the skinwalkers or
yeah,
whatever?
Yeah, they put the skin of the walkers on. And
would you eat me? I'd eat me so hard.
That looks intriguing to me. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, but how many years are we going to have to wait? Two more seasons at least.
I don't know.
Do you think they'll do the war this season and wrap it up that quickly?
No.
I just don't like all this talk, and I had to fast forward through a lot of shit from last night's episode.
I'm back in. I'm hooked again. I'm not going to. Even if it's a talky episode, I'm still in. I don't know why.
I mean, I'm going to watch it. I don't know. I like it better. And I want Rick and Michonne to. That needs to be over.
Are they together in the comic book?
No.
Because she's fucking Gabriel. Gabriel, right? No, not Gabriel. She's fucking the king there. Ezekiel. Yeah, in the comic book, she's with Ezekiel.
Right.
That makes more sense to me. And
why? Because they're black?
No, not at all.
No, Rick's
not
with
at
Andrea
all.
In the comic books.
Yeah.
She's
makes
alive.
Makes more sense.
Okay.
I mean, I could see. No, it has nothing to do with that.
All
it's
right.
The fact that she is Michonne and just the two of them together, there's nothing. I don't see it.
I see it in the show how they developed it, and I see why they're together, and I see why they love each other.
Nah, I mean, I told you, I could see Rick kissing Daryl more than Michonne. I don't like it.
I have always thought that those two on the show, and I knew that, I guess I didn't know that they weren't together in the comic book till recently, but I think that they gel really well on that show.
Okay.
And I think she's, I like her a million times more than I like Lori, I can tell you that.
Well, yeah, of course. Well, Lori was a bitch.
No, I just don't like that actress.
Well, she is a terrible actress, I agree.
From Prison Break.
I love Michonne. I just don't like her being all...
Well, she is a badass.
Yeah, exactly. And then she's not whenever she's all whatever with Rick.
All
but
right.
Anyway.
So what episode was that last night? 5 or 6? No, it was 5. So we'll have, what, 3 or 4 more before the break? How many are there every season?
I think there's 8 and 8.
8 and 8, so they'll break it up, and then we'll have another. Jesus.
So somebody's going to die soon. Couple,
it goes by
couple
so fast, and then we have that awful interlude where it's Fear the Walking Dead, which I don't watch.
No.
I'm Ira when it comes to Fear the Walking Dead.
He's me.
Yeah, I'm Ira. All right.
I'm with you.
Moving on to Westworld. Everybody watched it last night. Jeff fell asleep.
So I'm up to the last week's episode where we found out that Bernard is a robot.
Right. Spoiler.
Yes. Which lets now I definitely think that the workers are robots.
And
like, right.
Bernard killed Dr. Melfi.
Right. Melfi. I don't like that, by the way.
Why?
I haven't watched last night's episode. I don't know. I wanted Bernard to be like the guy.
He is the guy, but he's being programmed.
I don't want him to be a
last guy. Night, but last night's episode was
yes.
amazing.
They go more into it.
Yeah. And you actually see the man in black get his ass kicked a little bit.
Yeah.
By Teddy. Because Teddy starts remembering things.
Oh, yeah.
And then Maeve's storyline goes completely off the rails into a good direction this week.
Yeah, Maeve is, she's practically as powerful as Ford now.
Mm-hmm.
She can just say whatever to the other, you know, synths in the world, and they just do what she says.
Yeah.
Like, she's in control.
She has the ability to change the storylines just by telling them what to do.
Wow.
Which, to me, is a fantasy. Like, I would love that to be your real life, mm-hmm. you know, where you could just... whatever situation.
But they figured it out, and they try to come get her, though. And she starts remembering, and they tie things together. You remember that little town, that the first town where they were training all of them. Mm-hmm. It goes back to that. Yeah. And I still don't know. Do you guys still think the man in black is, what's his face?
Jimmy.
Teddy.
I thought Jimmy.
No.
His real name is Jimmy. Jimmy Simpson.
Teddy is the...
Oh, Teddy's the guy with the man in black, right?
That's Marsden.
Yeah. James Marsden.
Teddy is Simpson's name. Cyclops.
What is Jimmy Simpson's name on the show?
I don't know. I can't
anyway,
remember.
But yeah.
Logan's back. I've been looking for you. Logan shows up at the end. I've been looking for you.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was dead, which sucks because I hate that fucking guy.
Well, Logan. I definitely think these timeline theories are correct.
Right.
They are in different timelines. Mm-hmm. And then I read today somebody posed the theory that, which because they've never said it, could it possibly be that Dolores is Arnold? Because they never do tell you if Arnold is a man or a woman. So is that possible?
But they're showing you the modern timeline, and she's still Dolores. I mean, I thought he killed her, killed him.
Well, just going back to, like, whenever she has that freak out, is that what she's seeing in her head, or is that who she was at the time when she went crazy and killed everybody and then blew her brains out?
I'm going to say that she's not Arnold.
Definitely not.
I will go on that.
Okay.
I'll have to go with that.
I think, and this might be crazy, you remember that one scene whenever Bernard has this flashback, whenever mm-hmm. he asks Ford, have you ever made me do this to anybody else?
Right.
And then he remembers himself choking somebody?
Yeah.
Do you think it's possible that some of these people were actually alive, that they were real people at one point, and Ford took their personality?
I don't think Bernard was, because he asked him
if he was real.
Yeah, and Bernard said, no, I have to give you a backstory. Blah, 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 blah.
What is he remembering then when he choked this person?
Well, yeah, he's made him kill other people. I think he killed that girl, the one that's missing.
They haven't shown her yet, right?
Right.
Did you realize that was a Hemsworth on that show? But that's the shortest Hemsworth.
Hemsworth? What are you
talking
about?
There's Chris Hemsworth and there's Liam Hemsworth, which is, you know, Thor.
Right.
And then the other one. The other guy, the one that runs security, that's Luke Hemsworth.
He's their oldest brother. They're like the Baldwins.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't
Or the Skarsgards.
Yes. Which, you know, the other two, they're
There's more Skarsgards?
There's like 70 Skarsgards.
There is
really?
Skarsgard.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was more
Peter Skarsgard.
Skarsgard. Alexander Skarsgård.
I'm an Alexander guy.
Oh, you would be.
Of course.
But we learned last night that the whatever this maze is,
mm-hmm.
that it's kind of like, what is this as far as like them, how you become human.
Right.
Basically, is what it is. And what's his face? Ed Harris. He is human,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't have human emotions. And he goes to Westworld to try and make himself have human emotions.
Right.
And by inflicting his pain or by whatever, by trying to make emotions for himself, he causes Maeve to become human because of her pain.
And she's always had that. And every time they erase it, it just keeps coming back.
Yeah.
Have we found out yet who Ed Harris's character is in real life? On the show?
Not yet, but he speaks an awful lot about it.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay, because there was that one episode where that kid comes over to him, or some guy comes over to him and says, thank you, sir, for all the work that you've done. And he's like, hey, I'm on vacation. I want to talk
mm-hmm.
about it.
Yeah, he does talk more about it this mm-hmm. time.
All right, good.
So eventually we will. I still think he's...
Jimmy Simpson?
Yeah.
William. Yeah.
I loved last night's episode. I thought it was one of the best ones so far.
Although I prefer to see William in a robe with no shirt on and his greasy cousin who's on
Stand the O'Poyles.
Yeah, he's on Stand versus Evil, the other one.
Oh, God, I can't wait. Always Sunny comes back in January.
So you don't like Stand versus Evil. Have you watched it? Jeff, do you like it?
I like it.
I like it, too. I'm caught up on it. I think it's an entertaining romp. Entertaining romp. I like the girl who plays his daughter.
Yeah,
I think
she's
funny and cute. And
she's got one of those squeaky voices.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting little show about witches.
Eh.
Demonic witches.
Yeah, I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah, this week's... anyway, we won't go into it. So we already talked about Family Guy. I haven't watched The Simpsons yet.
We should get into picks.
Let's do some picks. All right, staff picks. Mine is real easy. Looking for something to listen to on the radio this Thursday, which is Thanksgiving, we'll listen to the Von Hessler Doctrine. It's their second annual Thanksgiving show, my first annual Thanksgiving show.
I watched some of it live on Facebook.
Yeah, it was on Facebook Live. Lucky Yates is there. Kevin Kinney does a couple of songs. You know Kevin Kinney from Driving and Crying.
Mark Arum
stops by.
Was Chewbacca there?
I do the Surly Turkey, Tom Turkey, the Sarcastic Turkey, and a lot of Bing Crosby for some reason, but it turned out to be fun.
Drunk and feeling abusive.
Yeah, I wasn't drunk, but... I'm always feeling abusive. That'll air a couple times on Thanksgiving Day. It'll also air Friday, and it'll also air next this coming Sunday. But, you know, hey, you can just go to the WSB app and listen to it at any time on demand after Thanksgiving. So that's my pick this week.
Nice.
Who's next?
I'll go next. I'll be quick. I've talked about it before, but this podcast called Startup that I'm into that focuses on, obviously, startup businesses. But this, it's funny. They started out this season talking about themselves, which they do occasionally. They're kind of a cool podcast. They're just kind of all over the place. They're like us. They just kind of do what they want. But now for the last two episodes, and I think for the rest of this season, they're focusing on, do you remember the guy that owned American Apparel?
Yeah.
And he was like in the news and there was all kind of controversy with, you know, what was it, like sexual exploitation charges of it.
Yeah.
He's a real interesting guy. So they're traveling around with him and he was kind of extradited from American Apparel and they kicked him out of the company, you know, and forced him to step down and amidst all these charges of
it's kinda whatever.
Like
8-year-olds, dude.
But apparently he's beloved in that company. And, you know, he had 10,000 employees internationally, and most people loved him. So I guess he's kind of making a comeback, and he's trying to start a new business. And he's just a real interesting guy, and they're traveling around with him and talking to him and interviewing people that he's worked with in the past. And
Granimals.
Yeah, they're kind of just documenting what he's trying to do now. And he's one of these guys that just doesn't sleep, just works all the time. And he's working out of his house, and there's like 20 people that live there. And it's just, they're working out of the house and living there. And I don't know. It's interesting. Anyway, Startup podcast. Check it out.
Cool.
My pick is also a podcast. Well, one of my picks is Louis Anderson is on You Made It Weird with Pete Holmes.
Oh, yeah?
Like 2.5 hour long episode. I've only listened to about half of it so far, but it's real good.
Funny.
And my other pick is Gilmore Girls, A Year in the Life. Comes out on Friday on Netflix, 11:25.
Cool.
All four episodes, 2 hours each.
Going to be a lot of N.
Yeah. Tons of Gilmore boobs.
Yeah.
All from the grandma, though.
All right. Well, that's fine.
Okay, my pick is, it's so stupid and mindless, and I don't care, and I like it anyway. It's Martha and Snoop's Potluck Dinner on VH1.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous. I guess Martha and Snoop have been friends for quite a while
now.
They
got high together at the roast.
I think they get high before every one of these shows.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. The first episode, Snoop's got Seth Rogen on his team, and she's got Wiz Khalifa on her team. Martha is the coolest old white lady in the history of time. She's so fucking funny. And she rolls with anything they do. The episode the other night, she had Rick Ross on. He was practically butt raping her while she's cooking. She totally ate it up. There was like nothing he could do to her that shook her in the least or whatever. So, but it's pretty funny. So if you want to check it out, I mean, it's goofy. Like she cooks and Snoop cooks and everybody gets drunk and it's just ridiculous.
She's got street cred now.
She does. Well, she was in Federal Pen.
What channel is this on?
It's on VH1.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like regular VH1. Stupid, but it's just whatever. It's fine.
All right. Hey, thanks to shout out time. Thanks to our Patreons.
Yeah.
We have some Patreons. We got a new one this week. His name is Matt Carter. Thank you, Matt. Also, thank you to Jonathan Wilson, Eric Malmstrom, Colin Oman, Amber Gilpatrick, Garrett Kemble, Keith Tate, Herb Lamb, and Trent. Thank you very much. If you would like to become a patron, just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews and support the show. We'd love you if you did it. That's great. Let's see. Time for plugs, right? We're going to do some plugs here before we wrap up. I was going to do the Redbox Troll, but my throat hurts. And we're about out of time anyway, so
yeah.
We'll do it next week. Sausage Party will still be in the Redbox.
Yeah, for all time.
Jeff, thank you. Jeff went out this weekend to the Heroes and Villains Fan Fest at the Georgia World Congress Center, and you got to interview a couple of people from
right, I interviewed Sean Gunn from Gilmore Girls and Guardians of the Galaxy, and Ming Chen from Comic Book Man.
All right. Why did I think Sean Gunn was from
from Gilmore Girls?
Isn't that James Gunn's brother?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. So tell us, you know, a little bit about it, and I'm going to...
It was cool. It was like a little miniature Dragon Con all in one huge room at Georgia World Congress Center. And you know, a lot of celebrities there. Dude from Arrow was there, and John Barrowman, Captain Jack from Doctor Who World. And
Torchwood, right?
Yeah, Torchwood. Jason Momoa was there.
Jason Momoa?
Yeah.
I shook his hand. No, I didn't cut his hair. I shook his hand on Saturday.
Oh.
He burst into the shop down on Carroll Street. You know, like, just burst in. Hey,
burst into
what's
my
up?
Shop.
And, you know, Jesus. Commands the room. The guy's fucking huge. This guy is a brick shithouse. I mean, he's
he's
living
like
definition.
Cal Drago.
I know, but he's huge. He looks like Cal Drago right now, too.
What's his hair like?
Because he's doing that Frontier show that's coming on Netflix.
Long beard, all that shit.
No shit.
And, you know, he knows everybody there, and they all said hi, and he just said hi to me. He didn't know me. And, you know, he's there for a few minutes, and he talked to Steven for a minute, and then he left and came back a little while later, and they were going to have a little get-together at the barbershop at 4 when we closed on Saturday, but too many people in Cabbage Town knew that he was there, and then people who were at that convention knew where he was going to be, and they were starting to lurk, so they moved it to another place, but I got to meet him. So that's kind of cool, and I took a picture.
And I saw Milo Ventimiglia.
Say his name again. Right.
I don't know how to say his name. He was Stallone's kid in Rocky Balboa, you know what I mean?
He's from Heroes.
Yeah. And Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
And who else I see? Greg Henry and Michael Rooker.
Michael Rooker.
Yeah.
I got Greg Henry's autograph on my Slither DVD, and I wanted to go over and get Michael Rooker's autograph on it, but his line was really long.
You should bring Mallrats and get him to sign that, because that's a movie where he eats shit-covered pretzels.
Oh, yeah, he's such the asshole dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. So I will be editing the interviews with Ming Chen and Sean Gunn, and we will drop those on Thanksgiving. So you'll get an extra Radio Labyrinth in your cornucopia of podcasting this week. So thank you, Jeff, for going out and doing that for us.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and thanks to Heroes and Villains Fan Fest and Michael... Gooth, I forget what his real last name is, but they call him Gooth.
Yeah.
He's the guy that hooked us up with the passes and the interviews.
Right on.
Cool guy. Met him while we were down there.
Well, give him a shout out.
Watch for those Heroes and Villains Fan Fest. They have them all over the place. This one was just here in Atlanta, but they're all over the country.
Yeah, they tour.
Right.
And speaking of Momoa, he's got groupies. I met a woman who flew over from London. She rented a house in Cabbage Town because she knows that he hangs out there. She came to marry Todd and got her hair cut there just because Momoa got his hair cut there.
I have three celeb crushes: Jason Momoa, Josh Holm from Queens of the Stone Age.
What?
Oh, God.
And Idris Elba.
Yes. All right, cool. All right.
I was close.
Speaking of Mary Todd, go to marytoddhairco.com/products. And check out the best in hair care products that we make. Well, we don't make them. They make them right here in Georgia. They have a custom line of shampoo, pomades, beard oils, and they're all handmade using the finest ingredients such as cucumber, licorice, and bergamot. And they are, like I said, produced locally. I've been using the beard oil on this scruffy white thing I have here. So
looks very soft.
It's itchy,
Let's
you know.
Test it.
It gets itchy on here because I got dry skin. So I use
holding his beard, people.
The beard oil.
He has his pants. He has his pants off.
I am playing with my pubic hair.
Can you use the beard oil on your pubic hair?
I'm sure you could.
Let's try
that. I don't know why you'd want to, but you could.
You don't be glistening.
That doesn't say that you have to use it in a specific way, or that you're violating any rules if you were to put the pomade on your pubic hair.
So you won't get like an infection or anything. Well,
you could if you put it in your. Okay, look. Going down a dark road here with the place where I work and that have supported me for a very long time. So I want you to go.
Don't masturbate with beard oil, people.
I want you to go to the website, marytoddhairco.com/products. I want you to check it out. If you have a nice little haircut and you want to use a pomade, use one of their pomades. If you got a big burly beard or a little beard, use the beard oil. It's proprietary, but it's really good. I mean, it'll take the itch away and it makes your beard soft. And they have three different kinds of shampoos. One for daily use, one for clarifying. Yeah, okay.
Sure, yeah.
Getting a little late here. So anyway, go there and check it out. And those are my plugs. Steph.
Oh, I've got a really good one. You know, I always plug the dog thing or whatever, but this weekend, it's huge deal.
Very huge.
Sponsored by Zappos, the shoe website or whatever. No adoption fees from Friday to Sunday.
Okay.
All dogs, cats, free. And we're talking like most of our dogs are usually $275, $295.
Whoa.
They are free.
Wow.
So
you can just come up and
Well, you still got to get vetted, Dunk. We're not just going to give it to any retard off the street. I'm sorry, loser. cut that.
No way, doggy.
Now he's got to cut that.
You still have to get, you know, we still put you through the whole application process and everything like that. But yeah, so free all weekend. So please come out and see us. And also, too, if you have kids and they're lazy and they're not doing shit and you want them to get a job, make them come to us and be a kennel tech because we really need help right now. So kick their ass off the couch and do something. All they do is go to furkids.org and fill out an application. And
qualified and scooping shit.
Especially if you love animals or you're interested in being a vet tech or something like that. It's a lot, you know, great to learn. And we could really use your help right now.
Awesome. Ira, you got anything?
I don't.
All right. Jeff, one more time. Give a shout out to Remakes.
Remakes show is January 21st at Venkman's.
Mm-hmm.
Venkman's.com for tickets.
Right on. All right.
Yay.
This was a fun little episode, guys. Thanks for being here tonight. This is our 50th, man. Two more weeks, and we're a year old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Think of me on Thursday while I'm eating my dry bologna sandwich.
Oh, Christ.
You should get some checkers the night before and then heat it up.
Why don't you just buy some turkey and leave it on the counter overnight? Then you'll have dry turkey.
Yeah, I should buy some turkey bologna.
Isn't that Lennon song, Cold Turkey?
God, that's a horrible Lennon song.
You like that one, huh?
No, I don't know that really.
Tell your wife I want more chili. More chili.
Chili was good, huh?
More chili.
Amazing.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up. Until next week, remember to
keep it canon.
Two Faces Radio.